You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 4 of Clash of the Correspondents. James, am I right? Is it 4 or is it 3?
It's 4.
4, perfectly right. The show where we bring on two correspondents who have a game against each other this weekend to talk about their specific teams. It gives us a bit more insight into clubs that we don't talk about as much necessarily on the daily, weekly podcast. This week, who do we have, James?
We have at Spirit Blues, Sean. How are you, our Everton correspondent?
I'm all good. Thanks, James.
Cheers, pal. And we've got Bradley Parker, at Parker_Bradley, our Wolves correspondent. How are you, Bradley?
I'm all good. A bit invisible life, but I'm here.
Yeah, we need your voice more than we need anything else, and your thoughts on Wolves. I think both Everton and Wolves fans, you should be happy with the last kind of form from running from the back end of last season, and for Wolves, especially the European form this season as well. How do you feel about the season so far, Sean?
That for me?
Yeah, oh, sorry, for Sean. How do you feel about the season so far?
It's been a little bit disappointing, to be honest. The team's just not playing as well as we'd obviously have hoped for going into the season, and it feels like that, you know, the win that we got against Watford, we ground it out. It was solid, more than spectacular. Crystal Palace, you know, we felt like going into that game that they were there to be beat. We should have been getting 3 points. And a game against Aston Villa, I'm still not sure I'm over it, to be honest. The defending was just really, really poor on the two goals, and we struggled to create clear-cut opportunities. And then when we finally did, good old Theo Walcott glazes over from about 6 yards.
I'll be honest with you, Sean. That wasn't the response necessarily I was expecting, based on the fact that your defensive record from the back end of last season to this season has been really good. The form for Everton, bar Villa, in terms of the results, has been good. And from an outsider's point of view, I would have almost thought that you might put the Villa game aside as a blip and then back to doing well as Everton from next week.
Well, I mean, I think if we'd have played better against Crystal Palace and if we'd have played better against Watford, then that would be the case. But it's just very much, there's too many players who just are off form. Richarlison's been poor in all three games, really, really poor. Against Watford, I remember seeing a stat, and he made 5 passes. That was all he completed in there.
Wow.
He was on the pitch, and he was rightly hooked by Marco Silva. Sigurdsson's, you know, Gylfi always works hard. He always puts himself about, but he's not really creating anything at all outside of set pieces. But then against Watford, he put 2 on a plate for Richarlison, 2 really good headed opportunities, and Richarlison doesn't even hit the target. Palace, we created very, very little clear-cut chances, but Guilfi himself had one after, I think it was only 5 or 6 minutes in. And it's just the technique that he used to try to finish. And this is a guy who knows how to put the ball in the back of the net, but it was a really, really bizarre attempt at finishing. And they all keep doing that. You know, Theo was side-footing whilst he was leaning back against Villa. And like I said, Richarlison, he's got a head in Richarlison. He's good in the air, but he couldn't even hit the target against Watford with his two chances. And so there's a lot of frustrations in that we were poor pre-season, but Everton are always poor pre-season. I was confident when the season started that we'd play similar to how we finished last season. But we're toiling. There's just too much. It's just sideways. We're obsessed with passing sideways. Everything goes out to the wings. That's why FPL players, you know, they look at Luca Dean's stats in terms of how much of the ball he's getting and how many crosses he's putting in, and it looks fantastic. But they're not quality crosses. If you look at the stats of accurate crosses, I don't even think Everton are in the top 10. So the ball goes out wide loads, but it's not quality balls into the box, and it's not like we've got Big Dunk anymore. So I'm not quite sure who the target is in there.
I suppose if you look at it another way, though, Sean, what happens when all those players do click? If you're grinding out the results and keeping it tight at the back, I mean, Villa did score two, but one was particularly late. Without everybody clicking, what does happen when they actually do click? There is potentially some real good assets there at Everton to consider.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just, you know, the aspirations were that we'd get closer, at least as a minimum, closer to the top six. And it's early days, there's a long way to go. It's just that with so many players, Guilfi, Richarlison, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, you know, Bernard, he had a decent game against Watford. But against Villa, he was poor again. Against Palace, he was poor. There's just too many of our attacking players who are off form, and that's why the real positive so far has been Moyes Keane and Alex Iwobi, because when Iwobi come on against Villa, all of a sudden we look like we might get a goal, and he was looking to create, he was moving, he was playing central passes, and he didn't have this obsession that everyone else has got where they just automatically knock it out wide. And he created some good opportunities, nearly scored, he hit the post, he was unlucky that it fell straight to the Villa defender. But I think Everton, in terms of FPL, they will pick up. I own Luca Dean. I wouldn't be, you know, part with Luca Dean. But in terms of Guilfi Sigurdsson, you know, I think it's you're relying on his reputation and his historical haul of points more so than the eye test, so to speak.
Sean, can I jump in there? It's fascinating you saying about, obviously, playing the ball into the wide areas and this obsession with kind of ball retention at the moment. With respect to the three teams you've played so far, you would expect to dominate the ball. And you've got two very good attacking fullbacks. You would maybe make a case that even outside sort of Liverpool and City, possibly the best pairing of fullbacks in the country. Why not use them?
Well, I think the thing with Seamus is getting lots of opportunities to deliver the ball because of the way that we play. But he caught one back. Morgan Schneiderlin amazingly played a forward pass. He was probably trying, got confused and thought he was clearing it. And Coleman cut in round the back and laid it back to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But there's just been far too little of that from Seamus, and he gets the ball, he's in a good opportunity, and it's like he's just hitting zones as opposed to picking out players. You know, I don't like talking about the other team across the park, but when you watch their fullbacks, everything they do, there's a purpose to it. That they're picking out players, or they certainly know that players are going to be in certain areas, and the players end up being there. So it's a good ball in. But Seamus, it's all very huff and puff and just percentages. And he will, that his place in the team is absolutely at risk. Absolutely at risk.
From Sidibe.
I think Sidibe will start tomorrow night. And then if Sidibe can show that he's got more quality in the opponent's half when they're defending, then Seamus is definitely, because he's not been good for the first three games in terms of the quality of his crossing and his passing. He cost us the goal against Villa, the second goal. Well, him and Gomez. So Gomez, he had Moyes keen inside. Simple little 5-yard pass inside. He should have played, but he doesn't. He's obsessed with finding the wings. So he plays it to Seamus Coleman. Seamus couldn't control the ball. Villa broke. Andre Gomez was one of few players that bothered to track back, and he became invisible. And the Aston Villa player, I can't say his name, who scored. But there was no resistance there.
No.
And it's poor. And these are the sort of things that we were doing last season in the games that you'd expect Everton to be able to win away from home. And that's why, you know, I'm frustrated because
Bradley, just want to clarify one thing that Sean said there, because obviously we're recording this Tuesday, it's going out Thursday. Just to pick up that Sean said there, you think Sidibe will start tomorrow. He means the Lincoln game in the League Cup, not necessarily the league game.
Bradley, are you bothered about the league this year? Because your little European holiday seems to be going so well for you guys at the moment.
Yeah, got to be bothered because you've got to try. And at least, I think, equal last season, at least, I think we can.
It is going to be difficult, though. We talked about it. I stayed off Wolves assets in FPL, apart from Dendonka, because of the Thursday-Sunday kind of issue that so many teams we've seen in the past have struggled with in the league. And your league, everybody keeps asking the same questions. When are we going to see this Europa League form in the league? Do you see a real difference in the performances, or is it just the case of things haven't quite clicked in the league yet?
This Sunday, there seemed a bit, well, there was just all shit, but the worst players of the lot was, funnily enough, the ones who didn't play in Torino. Like Bennett was awful. Neves couldn't find a pass. He didn't play Thursday.
So Johnny isn't necessarily an excuse for them.
No, they're just, I think the lack of preparation is probably affecting Wolves. Because last season, you know, just had a straight running training of with just playing that one team, whereas now it's disturbed with travel as well. Because they don't get back to Wolverhampton until like 3:30 in the morning, Friday.
Yeah.
After Torino, and then you've got to prepare for Burnley. I'm going to like shit house you. It's quite difficult. But I'm surprised that Moutinho keeps playing. I mean, he started all the matches this season, and at his age, I'm thinking it's time you sat out one match. Because I'm scared of him just pulling up and going, oh shit. The phase out, we're in trouble.
One of the massive problems that Wolves are going to find this year, Bradley's kind of summed it up there. Oh, it's Burnley. So you look at the fixtures, it's like, right, you've got to get into the Europa League group stage. You play Leicester away, you're motivated. Play Man United at home, you're motivated. Then you have the great win in Turin against Torino. And then, it's Burnley at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest mistake you'll make in this league at any time, is start having the attitude of, it's only Burnley at home. I don't know if there was a bit of that from Wolves at the weekend, Bradley, but it's certainly standards weren't at their highest, I don't think.
I don't think so. I just thought there was just... They just looked half asleep. Like, every second ball was won by them.
I think Burnley can do that.
He's still playing Jota and Raul. Because I think if he took them less seriously, he might have played Neto and Cutrone. But I thought Cutrone might have come in for that one, because he's a very physical striker and he would have probably done a lot better against Tarkowski and me.
Burnley have been playing well this season. Even the defeat against Arsenal, they did give Arsenal a good game for large parts of it. So it's no surprise.
Ashley Barnes looks very good.
He's got to say, from what I saw, he looks sharp.
Mm. Bradley, you kind of touched on a couple of them now. One of the things I'm really keen to ask you about is about the new signings like Neto and Crutoni, and the other fellow you got at the back whose name will escape me, but you'll tell me. One of the big topics around sort of Jota and Jimenez is it's not being spoken about, that these guys are on the background now, right? Talk to me a little bit about their abilities, if you can, from what you've seen, Bradley.
Cutrone, from what I've seen so far, looks a very useful striker, very physical, strong. He doesn't really give the opponent time to breathe, which I think is what Nuno likes in his forward players, because a lot of the ones he's brought into the club, like Raul, he just doesn't stop. He's got a good aggression about him as well. Definitely a penalty box player. Because for Milan, I think last season he had averages about 4.5 touches in the box per match, which is the second most of their team last season. So if we can get the ball into the box a bit more consistently than we do, if Cutrone's on the pitch, you'd probably sniff out a few goals. Neto looks a tidy player. He's surprised a few fans. Because I think there was this... Some people thought it was one of them signings that, you know, Mendes gives you where you can't, where he had to, was it a brown envelope signing, where you just sign him to keep him happy. But he's looked quite tidy, nifty player, sort of like a Jota. So if we are playing Roland Jota, just be Cutrone, Neto, and they both have a... They're like mini-er versions of the pair.
Arona's right to be worried a bit about the minutes of the front two?
The minutes... Yeah, I wouldn't say the starts probably in the Premier League at the minute. I think there still is going to be his go-to people. Because I think this is the hardest part of the season for Wolves at the minute. Because if you're in the group stage, you get like gaps in the matches where you'll recover. Whereas at this part of the season, we're just playing Thursday, Sunday, non-stop sort of thing.
Until you start winning in the League Cup as well, mate, when you enter round three and you soon
find... Oh, forget that, Wolves.
Well, yeah, but if you win, you stay in, right?
Yeah, that's the thing.
What you want with that, mate, is you want like Man City away in round three and just scrap
it. Yeah,
mate.
Yeah, I'd be like, just take a squad, I'll slap us out.
Sean, what's your hope for this weekend? You're hoping for a win, no doubt.
Yeah.
What do you think the score's going to be?
It'll be a tough game. I remember last season's game. You know, against Wolves, they were one of the best teams that we played at Goodison Park. I'm expecting a tough game. Hopefully, you know, we manage to snap out of this sort of slump that we seem to be in terms of creating opportunities, and I hope that we start taking some chances. But I think it'll be a tough game. I know, you know, obviously the Europa League sort of issues that the Wolves are facing won't sort of help them. But they'll still be a very, very tough team to beat.
Brad, are you hoping for a win as well?
Hope for one, but I'd take a draw. As long as we get to the group stage Thursday, take a draw, take stock in the international break, just declare everybody injured, then I'll be happy.
Bradley thinks they're going
to
stay up.
Can't be bothered for Raul going to Mexico and back again.
True. I tell you what, I'm predicting a draw for this weekend, and I'll tell you why. For no reason other than the two of you are 1 point apart so far in your FPL scores. I think one of... who's on which? But one's on 177 and one's on 178. So you're literally going neck and neck in the Correspondence League as well. Bradley, you've got 1 point on Sean at the moment. But the fact that it's so tight there, I'm just going to predict a draw in the actual football as well.
Well, without meaning to piss Sean off a bit more, we've done three of these so far, and the away team's won all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This show's actually becoming a bit of a bogey for the home team.
But well, we have to get that changed. I think, Sean, in seriousness, I think you might be being a bit harsh on Everton.
I also agree with James, just to put it out there. But like I said, I thought you'd be a little bit more optimistic because
I think it's disappointing a little bit because I think Everton's opening run of fixtures looks so positive. You really hope they're going to hit the ground running. Sean will be sitting there thinking, I wanted at least seven from this, if not nine. And then put yourself in a position to like have taken advantage of Spurs and United slip-ups and that and be in a position where you're ahead. Because for an Everton, a Wolves or a Leicester to try and get in the top four this year, you've got to get in front. If you don't get in front, it's not going to happen, basically.
Yeah.
So I can understand the disappointment there, but it's still an integration in terms of the new players. I noticed today, Sean, Gbamin's out for 6 weeks.
Mm. Yeah, at least.
That's an issue, isn't it, in that area of the pitch?
Yeah, absolutely. It pretty much just means that we've only got Schneiderlin who can effectively play defensive midfield, and the last thing you want is Schneiderlin to know he's guaranteed to play.
Mm. I noticed Idrissa Gueye missed this fixture last year when Wolves won 3-1.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. How's your FPL season so far, Bradley? Are you happy with your score? You're just a couple of pips ahead of me and James, so we're inside the top million just.
Well, happy with Harry Kane Sunday.
Fuck off.
Who
man.
Was? I don't think anyone was other than
he's
Steve
gone
Bruce.
Now because of that. But
have you subbed Harry Kane out? Have you?
Yeah, I wild carded.
Okay.
You'll regret it.
Too much value.
Yeah.
Players like Sigurdsson as well. Let me down so far.
I've got a feeling, Bradley. When you come out of that wild card, tell me if I'm wrong, I got a feeling you won't have any Wolves players.
Correct at the minute.
Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? Mm. Talk to me, Bradley, about you sent a very interesting tweet out on Monday about Traore.
Oh, yes. He's got to be our starting right back at the moment. He's from the improvement he's shown from last season to this one is quite astounding. The way he's, how to explain it, he's still playing with the same direct approach.
Rapid.
If you know what I mean. But you can tell he's thinking about when's the right time to burst. And when's the right time to lay it off? When's the right time to run in behind? And he'll get his head up just before he crosses the ball. Because I think it was Opta Joe put out a stat saying only Kevin De Bruyne had more accurate crosses than Traore.
Oh, fuck.
Over the courses of last season as well.
Really?
That can't be real. Was that out of a five-minute sample? Is that out of a five-minute sample?
He's picking players out now. I think he's got 3 assists now this season in European football. He got one against Torino. He absolutely murdered their left back.
Yeah, actually set up a great goal for Jota there.
I hope he's playing Sunday just to push Digne all the way back. Because if Digne is not getting forward, then they'll create even less, I think. Because against Villa, they just seem to say to Digne, here, have the ball, swing it in. That was their only creative sort of thing.
That's an interesting tactical idea, that.
Yeah.
More the point I wanted to make of it, Bradley, is you're saying kind of everybody's superstar last year was the Doc. You're saying at the moment, leave him out.
Yeah, he on Sunday, I was shocked he started and he couldn't run past the halfway line. He just looked, he had an injury in pre-season and he's come back, but yeah, he come back how we expected him to, because he usually keeps himself very fit, but he just looks off. He doesn't look like he can run. Against Man United, he was plodding. Nuno said it was illness, but it looks a bit more than illness. You're just off the boil completely.
Mm. Okay. Sean, where do you see... I know you were quite impressed with Iwobi's cameo the other day. Do you see that sort of like forcing Bernard out of the team? Was it put Richarlison under risk? Where do you see him fitting in?
Well, I think he could potentially play in any one of the three positions behind the striker, because with the amount of central midfield injuries that we're sort of picking up, I don't think we're going to change the shape drastically and say try 4-3-3, which a lot of fans are sort of crying out for. So I think it'll just be a case of if Richarlison, if Gylfi, if Bernard are off form, then Iwobi will be in.
You say fans crying out for the 4-3-3. I'd just be interested to know, how does that look to you if you were to go that way? And I know you don't want to mention a lot down the road, but that's obviously how they play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so we've got Fabian Delph's fit now, by all accounts. And we've obviously got Tom Davis. There's Andre Gomez, and then there's Morgan Schneiderlin. So I think, in terms of the way they play their 4-3-3 is the three in the middle, they press very high, win the ball back through interceptions more so than tackling per se. But Schneiderlin can't play that type of game. He's one that sits in front of the back four, so I don't see him being able to play in a three in the middle, in a 4-3-3, which then means that you're only really gonna try it in games where you're going to have a lot of the ball, you're going to be able to close down the opposition and overpower them. So it wouldn't surprise me if we play it tomorrow night in the Cup. But in the league, I just don't see it, because we can't afford to lose any more central midfielders. But I know the fans want to see something different than this 4-2-3-1 that effectively we only play because of Gylfi. But the problem I have is if you take Gylfi out, who scores the goals?
And creativity.
And creates them as well.
Takes the
calls. Yeah, we spoke on the main pod about keeping Bernard in that team because he's capable as well. Like he's got good vision. Bernard is a tidy player, whereas I think you've got a lot of players at the moment: Richarlison, Iwobi, Ken, Calvert-Lewin. They want to run in behind, right? Someone's got to feed the pass if that's the way you're going to play. So I think like Sigurdsson and Bernard and then plus two quick ones has a better balance. And I think that will probably end up being Ken and Richarlison or Iwobi. I don't really know at the moment. Or if he wants to play with two out and out quick wingers, you would think if he does want to lean the way the supporters want to and go to a 4-3-3, then having sort of Iwobi and Richarlison either side of Ken sounds great. But then Sigurdsson doesn't fit in the team, and neither does Bernard.
This is the challenge.
You know what? Little bit of luxury, right? The squad's going to need a little bit of integrating. I think like Delph is going to have to hit the ground running. He's obviously a very experienced player. I think you were quite impressed what you'd seen of Gbam in early doors, so it's a bit of a blow.
Yeah, it's a big blow because he was very much signed as the direct replacement for Garner, albeit he's got a slightly different profile to Garner, who there's not too many Garners about in terms of his ability to intercept and win tackles. His success ratio for winning tackles is obscene. But this was the thing. A lot of Evertonians were on Twitter when we got beat by Villa, almost making out that we lost because we missed Garner. But it was nonsense because when Garner played for us, if Garner was in that game against Villa, it just would have been exactly the same. Because Garner was invariably the one that the opposition would allow Everton to give the ball to because they knew he wasn't really going to break them down because he didn't have that range of passing. And in the early minutes that Gbamin's played for Everton, you can see he's very, very comfortable on the ball and he's very direct, which again is something that we missed against Villa. And I think, potentially we'll miss it against Wolves unless Iwobi plays because we're just too easy to read, too predictable. We'll just knock it wide. We'll try and get crosses in the box. And I don't even know why we bother because we've got nobody in there that can, Dom's
but then
not.
That's massively off-putting for Dean owners, you saying that.
Yeah, I think Lucas Dean's potential is with clean sheets and the fact he takes so many of our corners and free kicks. But people should definitely be aware of the fact that, the team is just not attacking as well as last season. And even last season, we did have these type of issues, like I say, in away games where, or any game where we were facing what they call a low block. That's where we really struggled creativity-wise. And it's continued into this season.
And Wolves, Bradley, are presumably going to provide that low block that Sean speaks about this weekend.
Yeah, all this sounds like music to my ears, to be honest, for the way we play away.
Yeah, interesting. I feel like it's a fixture that timing-wise, it feels like it suits Wolves a little bit better. I think Wolves could do away with the easy fixtures right now. We say it so often. One of the big things for Wolves this year, it's got to be beating
raising,
some of the
raising
shit.
Raising yourselves, yeah. Raising
like,
yourselves for
playing
those difficult
games. Playing at Goodison is tough for anybody at any time. When's the last time you conceded home goal, Sean?
February.
I know. And yeah, 6 months. You're still sitting there depressed. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's not all bad. No. It's not all bad.
Guys, we're going to wrap up the show there, but we wanted to say thanks again for all the support and help on Twitter and the articles you're writing and sharing. Brad, I'm a big fan of this winners and losers format for this year as well. I had an interesting read this today as well, because that's just literally gone live. But I say today, that would be 2 days ago now.
Yeah, keep up.
We're getting a bit confused with our days. Hopefully, are you going on Thursday to the home leg? No doubt, Bradley?
Yeah, sure.
So hopefully you come through that, because I really...
Hopefully I'll get stabbed up by some mad Italian or something.
No, you won't. They'll be fine.
We'll never Wolverhampton, see you mate. Again.
But yeah, I really hope you guys win, because when clubs like Everton's and Wolves and what have you get a chance in Europe, you've got to give it a go. So,
no, I genuinely
yeah,
want
and good luck for the
well.
Weekend as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything to add, James?
Cheers, boss.
I think Everton will win Sunday.
I do as well.
I'll put my neck out there. I think it'd be very tight. Sorry, Bradley. I think it'd be very tight. I think Everton might nick it.
Only because if Wolves do come through Torino, then I feel there's going to be a little bit of a hangover there onto the weekend game. So I'm afraid I'm probably going to pip Everton in a 2-1 as well for me.
Get your money on Wolves, guys. Thanks very much.
Cool. So we're back next week with Clash of the Correspondents. Who do we have on next week? We don't,
we ain't got anyone
it's
next week.
International break.
We don't know what we're doing yet, but we'll come up with something. But we return before game week 5 with Stephen Toomey at sixth goal and Adam at 3-5 who Watford versus Arsenal, which is incredibly dangerous for me to have scheduled Adam on after the North London derby.
That is true. The only issue with that is that we've got an Arsenal-Watford game when Troy Deeney's not available. Oh. Those games are just not the same without Deeney's abusiveness, is it?
Bad times.
There we go. Guys, thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned to all the content. Tomorrow we'll be back with the final plan where James and I run down the last minute transfers and changes that we're making in all of our teams. Other than that, ciao for now.
Cue music. Thanks, James.
Bye, guys. See you later.
Ciao. Thanks, guys.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.